The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You please be seated. Good evening, and welcome again to St. Margaret's on a beautiful evening as the weather is finally starting to break. I love that gospel reading we just read, but I didn't always love it. Like we do here, my last parish had a deacon, and I was used to my deacon always reading the gospel until one day on this second Sunday of Advent he was away. And I had to read it myself, and it did not occur to me to try to look up names in advance like Iturea and Trachonitis to see if I could pronounce them correctly. It seems to me like something that would appear in a medical advertisement. You know, symptoms may include mild cases of Iturea or Trachonitis. These words are hard to pronounce, and they root us to a particular time. They root us to a time when things were really desperate. Now, Cash Baxter, as always, read our first reading flawlessly, but I'm going to read it to you again because I want to set the stage for you. Have you ever been separated from people and things you love for a long period of time? Have you ever found yourself away from home and unable to return? Have you ever found yourself at home desperately longing for those who were taken from you and wondering if you would ever see them again? Have you ever been that desperate? This was the situation for the Jews at the time that the prophet Baruch wrote to them of God's deliverance from the Babylonian exile. God's people had been conquered and led away in chains to be slaves in Babylon for generations. And the people of Jerusalem wondered if they would ever see their men again. And it was in that desperation that God came and answered their call. And so I want to, with that framing around it, I want to share that reading with you again so you get a sense of what was going on, why these words are enough to reduce people to tears when they consider what was at stake. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting, because God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name, righteous, peace, godly glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. That means get up on a hill. Take these words very literally this time. Stand on the hill, look toward the east, toward Babylon, and see your children, those who have been in exile, for as long as they've been alive. See your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies, the Babylonians. But God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel, God's chosen people, may walk safely in the glory of God. Just this week, I went to go see friends in San Diego, people who are not that far away from us. But if you've traveled those roads before, if you've continued up 74 and done all the winding around and then finally get up towards Idlewild, you start passing some roads that are very pleasant, they're very pretty, but if you're like me, invariably, you get behind some slowpoke who's going incredibly slowly and has a line of cars behind them. So I'm having to pull off on the side of the road and call my friend and say, I'm going to be very late. I can't get through these mountains. And as soon as I pull back into traffic, there's another one, and I get in line behind another one of these people who's just going 20 miles an hour through the mountains. It's infuriating because you're so close and you can't get there. These mountains are so beautiful, but they're such an incredible barrier. Now imagine that you're on foot and trying to return home and these mountains are in your way. That's what was confronting the people of God as they returned to Jerusalem, and that's why this voice cries out. God orders that every high mountain and everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. That's the power of these words that John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness. Now you may know that John the Baptist was kind of an unsavory type. He came from a good family. But he may have been a little bit crazy. I think my picture of John the Baptist is that he's like one of these guys that you see standing on the corner with a megaphone yelling at everybody that they need to repent. You need to repent. Change your ways. And do people follow these people? No. We walk on the other side of the street and we walk around because it's very uncomfortable to have crazy people shouting at us that we need to repent. I don't think it was entirely different in John the Baptist's time. Scripture tells us that he wore a camel's hair coat, but I don't think it was the Brooks Brothers type. I think it was one of those kind of crazy furry things that just makes you look like a wild man, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And as if to ruin our holidays, he yells out, "Repent." This is not something that comes easily to us Episcopalians. But the good news is that God is up to something. God is bringing down the mountains. God is lifting up the valleys to make it easy for God to come and redeem God's own people. That's you and me. And all we have to do to bridge the gap between that enormous separation between ourselves and a God that we've been away from for so long that we wonder if we can even remember. All we have to do, John the Baptist tells us, is repent. But that's a word that doesn't come easily to us Episcopalians. There's a distance from that voice that cries out in the wilderness. And where does that voice meet us? How do we prepare the way? Well, we repent by simply turning around. We simply turn around and see what is the way that the forces of God are pushing. We get with the program and we break down all of those kind of barriers in our own hearts that separate us from the love of God that can be every bit as big spiritually as these mountains are physically. And it's a huge thing, and it's a little thing. How do we prepare by repenting? Mend a fence. Bury a hatchet. Apologize. Pay attention to your child. Rediscover fidelity. Fill in your own blanks. Come clean. Get responsible. Seek God's forgiveness and then recommit to the people whom God has given you and me to love. Your families, friends and neighbors, and those who are alone. God so longs to be reunited with you and me. And all we need to do is turn back into that loving presence. Harold Lewis writes that if we try it, we will see that John the Baptist was not so crazy after all. His less than genteel barraging into our pre-Christmas lives becomes not so much an intrusion, but an opportunity, with the hope that Christmas might not become a sentimental and perfunctory holiday, but a sacred and perfected holy day, when we unabashedly sing, "Let every heart prepare him room." Amen.